The Takeaway. I'm Melissa Harris-Perry. Thanks for starting your week with us. Today, officials in Nashville are scheduled to vote to reinstate former Tennessee State Representative Justin Jones. Jones was expelled from the state legislature last Thursday. That day, State Rep. Justin Pearson of Memphis was also expelled by lawmakers. The Memphis City Council could reappoint Pearson during their meeting on Wednesday of this week. Even if both are reappointed by their respective city councils, the appointments are not permanent. Each would have to seek re-election to their respective seats in a special election that's not yet been scheduled. But how did we get here? Just days after a shooter killed six people, including three children, at the Covenant School in Nashville, Representatives Jones and Pearson joined thousands of people, including students and teachers, who gathered at the Tennessee State Capitol. State Rep. Gloria Johnson from Knoxville was also among the protesters. Jones, Pearson, and Johnson also interrupted a House floor session and took over the speaking podium as they led chants with protesters in the House gallery with the megaphone.
No action, no peace! No action, no peace!
After a short recess was called, Tennessee leaders decided to sanction the three lawmakers. Jones and Pearson were ultimately expelled for violating House rules of decorum. Representative Johnson narrowly escaped expulsion by one vote.
We're talking about providing them guns!
On Monday morning, before the vote on whether to reinstate Justin Jones, we spoke with Blaise Gainey, political reporter at WPLN, Nashville's public radio station. Okay, Blaise, how likely is it that these two lawmakers are going to be reinstated this week?
I think it's highly likely, definitely, that Representative Justin Jones will be reseated, or at least, you know, proposed to be back in his seat today. So there's a 40-member council here in Nashville that will vote to seat him this afternoon, and they could easily do so. Majority of the members, it looks like, have already came out and made statements saying that they would vote to seat him. And in Shelby County, where Representative Justin J. Pearson is, they have also come out, while it's not as many, and they only have a 9-member advantage for Democrats there. If all the Democrats get on board, he'd be welcome back in his seat also.
All right. Do you have a sense of the likely reaction from leadership in the Tennessee House, both Republican and Democratic leadership, if these two representatives are reinstated?
Yeah, we haven't spoken directly with leadership since this has come out that the two would likely be right back in their seats so soon. But some of the Black caucus members are worried that House Speaker Cameron Sexton could sort of delay the process of actually seating them and getting them, as official members of the body. Because session can end next month. In about 1 month, session is likely to end. And if just a little delay could cause them to miss an ability to speak or vote on several bills.
Right. It's always just, so critical for us. I think, we tend to think of state houses as though they operate like the U.S. House, but it is not like that at all, right? Relatively short sessions, kind of all the work happening fairly quickly.
Yeah, they started in January, and they have, in a 2-year span, they only have 60 session days that they can use. So they have to, use those wisely.
So you mentioned the Tennessee House Speaker Cameron Sexton. I want to take a listen here to something he said on a talk news program, 98.7 in Knoxville.
Representative Jones and Representative Johnson have been very vocal about January 6th in Washington, D.C., about what that was, and what they did today was equivalent, at least equivalent, maybe worse, depending on how you look at it, of doing an insurrection in the Capitol.
My friend Blaise, he has made a comparison, a clear, direct line here saying that what happened in the context of this protest and these lawmakers taking part in it is the same as what happened at an insurrection at the federal Capitol. How is that argument being received?
People are, you sort of laughed after you heard it. I think a lot of people are, maybe some aren't laughing because this is a serious matter. I think people are very upset that he would liken something to January 6th, where, I mean, people died. Officers were assaulted. Property was damaged. People defecated inside of the Capitol building on January 6th. Nobody did that here. You know, this was kids and parents walking around. Now, we've spoken to the House Speaker about that statement, and he said that he's only saying the three were trying to incite a riot and not that the thousands of protesters were any part of this insurrection. He's claiming could have been worse than January 6th. And so, you know, if what these three people did is in like a 4-minute span of talking on the floor to him, saying it's worse than people going through the Capitol with weapons, I think it kind of shows that he thinks one side is not as dangerous. And when another person does it, it threatens the establishment.
All right. You also have said a couple times here, the three people, but of course, only two were expelled. A lot of folks are also making something of the fact that the two expelled lawmakers are not only two of the youngest lawmakers in the state house, but are also black men, whereas the one lawmaker who was not expelled is a white woman. Is there reason to believe that race was sort of the key determining factor here? Or is there something else about, for example, the representative who was not expelled, you know, having sort of a different relationship with the leadership?
No. You know, Representative Gloria Johnson has been in the legislature longer, and it's actually a little more surprising that they wouldn't have gotten rid of her. She is similar to the newer law, the new young lawmakers who were expelled. She definitely calls them out. She's proposed multiple amendments to say like their abortion amendments and tries to loosen them as much as possible. She's proposed red flag laws in the past, a lot of things that they just don't want to answer to and have to talk about. She brings them up a lot. So it was actually a little surprising. It's not like she's their friend, you know, in this. And so, you know, she said it herself that she believes, you know, the color of her skin played into her staying an elected member.
These new young lawmakers who were both expelled are also new in part because of redistricting that happens right after the, you know, new state lines, new district lines drawn after the 2020 census. Can you talk to me about the districts from which these now former representatives were elected and how maybe they're different from what those districts looked like prior?
Yeah, well, I will say they changed, but not a whole lot. I think more so is that these have been historically seats that have historically been represented by Democrats, and also the one in Memphis by a Black Democrat. Representative Justin J. Pearson, his seat before was held by Representative Barbara Cooper, who passed away right before being elected. She won the race still, and then they had a special election. And similar to how Justin J. Pearson can be seated right now, he was actually seated by the county commission and then won a special election to get this seat. So I've already joked around with a couple of people about it. It's like by the time that he gets back into the legislature, he would have been elected three times, essentially, in just one term.
Okay, quick break. More on Tennessee's State House right after this. All right, we're back with Blaise Gainey from WPLN, Nashville's public radio station. Whether we're going all the way back to a period of Reconstruction history and PBS Pinchback, who was, you know, briefly the governor of Louisiana, wins a seat in the U.S. House of Representatives, but is never allowed to actually take that seat. Or whether we go to Wilmington, North Carolina, where there's an insurrection to actually overturn a fusion government that included Black elected leaders. You know, I guess I'm wondering, I know some folks are saying, oh, has this ever happened before? But it most certainly has. but at a time I think that we like to think of as our distant past. Is this an indication that that past is not so distant?
You know, I think it's, you know, possibly an indication the past isn't so distant, but also that Tennessee is sort of still in the past, at least in the way that the state is run by one party and the other party really has no say and no power, you know, in the legislature. They're in a super minority and, you know, they need help from Republicans to pass, you know, even a bill that just needs 50% plus one. So they can't, I mean, as you saw, they couldn't stop their own members from being expelled. That becomes a really big problem in these situations where, you know, usually, I think the bigger thing about this is how egregious it is to expel somebody for breaking a house rule instead of, you know, not expelling members right away who were accused of sexual assault or bribery in the past and have, you know, text messages come out that talk about doing drugs in the Tennessee General Assembly buildings and all types of other things that have come out against other lawmakers, and they've stayed in or had went through a due process that took months to get them, you know, kicked out. And even then, it was a bipartisan vote to do so. So having one party just come out and say a member of another party should be expelled, I think that's the big difference in this situation.
Blaise, let me ask you one last question here. And of course, this all begins around a protest, or the sort of final moment here is around a protest around gun laws. Can you tell me, you know, again, as you were pointing out, there's this sort of brief, intense period of being in session for the state legislature. What do we know about Tennessee and Tennessee's gun laws?
You can get a gun without a background check. I know many states you can do that, but you can permitless carry, you can open carry. Right now, they are still trying to drop the age from 21 to 18 for permitless carry. And there's no bans on bump stocks or assault rifles or magazine sizes. It is pretty loose. And if you look up some of our statistics, we're almost top five in all of the worst statistics that you want to be ranked in, is definitely for people that are having their guns stolen out of cars. That's become a huge problem here in Tennessee. And you can't not pay attention to the fact that the homicide rate has also went up since permitless carry was put into place in 2021.
Blaise Gainey, political reporter with WPLN, Nashville's public radio station. Blaise, thanks for talking with us today.
Thank you, Melissa.